Good morning. I hope you didn't shut your Bibles, because I shall be referring to the passage on page 1096. So we're nearing the end of our series in Acts, which has been entitled Spirit-Filled Church. And you may remember that that was preceded by 5 weeks of sermons and studies under the title Open to the Spirit. And I do believe these weeks since Easter have heightened our awareness and experience of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and among us and in our community. Did you know that the full title of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles? That is, of those who had first-hand experience of Jesus while he lived on earth. Those who could say authentically, I heard him, I touched him, I walked with him. And the book of Acts is an absolutely thrilling book, and I really hope that if you haven't done it yet, you sit down and read it right through at one go. It traces the spread of the church out from Jerusalem and Judea to Samaria, and gradually out to the outer reaches of the then world under the dominion of Rome. And the story ends with Paul in prison in Rome itself. Paul's missions are crucial to this, and he qualifies an apostle, though he rates himself as the least of them, because he had that face-to-face encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. Actually, the end of Acts isn't really an ending. It's a non-ending, because we don't know what happened after that. And as we've spent time together on the events of the day of Pentecost and what followed, so I think we might agree with those who say that this book should actually be called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And those are going on to this day, which is why the book of Acts doesn't have a proper ending. It's ongoing. And this is particularly so as we come to part 3 of the story of Peter, John, and the lame man at the beautiful gate. 2 weeks ago, we thought about life-changing healing. And I'm sure that many of you received prayer over this issue. And although I haven't primed anybody for this, it would be good if anyone has something to share about that experience and what's happened since. So this is a moment for open mic, if anybody would like to be brave and just come and share something that happened as a result of the prayer that you received or the way that the Lord spoke to you about healing that day. And if not now, then perhaps later. And perhaps you will ask for an opportunity to share that. Last week we saw Peter and John on trial for what they'd done. And we heard how amazed the highly educated Jewish leaders were that these simple, ordinary, uneducated fishermen could speak so eloquently and persuasively. And it says they realized that these men had been with Jesus. What a testimonial. Wouldn't it be great if when people met us, they could say, these are people who've been with Jesus. You remember how when the council instructed them not to speak or act any more in the name of Jesus, they said this. It was so forthright, so bold. Judge for yourselves, they said to the council, the chief leaders of the Jewish people in Jerusalem, judge for yourselves which is right in God's sight, to obey you or to obey God. We just can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. And the council was powerless to punish them because of public enthusiasm over the miracle that had been done. Now we come to part 3 of the story. Peter and John come back to the gathered group of believers and tell them what the chief priests and elders have said. And what do the believers do? Go underground in a safe house? No. Dispersed to avoid being arrested for gathering together in Jesus' name? No, they join together in prayer. And I really feel this is a model prayer for us. And you can follow it on page 1096, starting from verse 24. So first of all, they affirm God's sovereign power as the creator of Lord of heaven and earth. They then go to the scriptures, their scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, to look for some insights into what's happening. And when we had the life group meeting all the groups together last Monday week, Dave encouraged us when we are in a situation where we're sharing together and want some insight, that we can ask God to lead us to something in his word which will throw some light on the situation that we're talking and praying about. And we've done that in our life group, and it was truly illuminating, and we were blessed by it. So they quote scripture and they apply it to their situation. Then they pray for strength to go on speaking the message of salvation boldly, and for this to be accompanied by miracles of healing and signs and wonders. And if you're following in the text, you'll see this is in verse 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And as they pray, the place is shaken and the Holy Spirit comes upon them afresh. I can't actually say that we've had any seismic events here at St. Andrew's as we've met to pray on Friday mornings, but we certainly have experienced the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and seen some amazing answers to prayer and received a lot of guidance. So why don't you join us? 9:30 isn't too painfully early, is it? Now, we've all seen pictures of what happens in an earthquake when the ground is shaken. We've seen some shocking and appalling events in different parts of the world. And it's very hard to claim insurance to pay for repairs because these events are classed as acts of God. And that's why I like this cartoon I found, with Peter at the insurance broker saying, "But the whole place was shaken." And the broker saying, "Sorry, mate, act of God." Which indeed it was. So who or what is it that was shaken? Well, certainly not Peter and John, because we heard what they said at their trial. Certainly not the gathered church who prayed so boldly. And as far as we know, the building survived the tremor. No. What was shaken were the powers of darkness, the principalities and powers, the rulers of this dark age, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, as Paul describes them in Ephesians chapter 6. Because through the Jewish authorities, they were trying to kill off the new Jesus movement. They were trying to kill off the new Jesus movement, the growing followers of the way, not yet called Christians, but soon to get that name. But quite the opposite happened. Persecution strengthened the witness of the believers, and the Holy Spirit gave them boldness. And before long, they would be scattered through persecution, and so they would be taking the message with them wherever they went. This was the occasion at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus asked his disciples what various people said and who they thought he was. And then he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not overcome it." Now, I'm not going to discuss exactly what Jesus meant when he said that he would build his church on Peter. But we have seen in this story how Peter and John, having been trained by watching Jesus, are now assuming authority in Jesus' name. And the thing that I wanted you to notice particularly about this passage is that Jesus said that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And it seems that the harder the persecution and the greater the threats, the bolder Christians are to witness boldly, whatever the cost. And maybe it's because we have it easy here that we can be so wimpish about it. If the time does come when opposition to our faith becomes more overt, then that will sort out whether we really are drawing our strength from the Holy Spirit. So what about us? I found this picture on the website, and I think it was taken several years ago. There's one saint of God who's with the Lord now, and quite a lot of people have grown quite a lot. But I think it expresses expectancy. When I see that George is there, we were praying for George in Tanzania, and there he is. So do we dare to pray with the believers in this story? "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." I believe we are being increasingly emboldened to pray like this, and we are seeing signs and wonders. But let's ask ourselves how we feel about this sort of holy boldness. And if we pray like this, then will this be the outcome? Because what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to proclaim God's message with boldness. And I pray that that may be so for us, that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit and proclaim God's message with boldness, that we will experience, as we shall hear next week, the amazing fellowship of a people who are united in their love for God and their love for one another, and experiencing the Holy Spirit in worship and in their everyday lives. There will be an opportunity to receive prayer at the end, and I do pray that this may be our experience increasingly. We're going to be quiet and reflect on these words for a little while, and then Debbie's going to come and lead us in a song. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to fan into flame our passion for his name.